What's up, y'all? It's time for another episode of the Millennial Rewatcher. We're diving into a disaster film again. That's right, it's time for Twister, 1996 edition. Ba-da-ba-da. Sometimes I make sounds and I'm like, why was that the choice? Was I trying to be a twister? Be the twister. You are the twister. Twist like twister. No, anyways. Before I get started, I just want to say that my dog is right next to me. I'm recording in my room this time, so I let him get on the bed. He had some tooth extractions a little over a week ago. He went in for a teeth cleaning, ended up needing some extractions. I feel like the world's shittiest dog mom. But anyways, he was already clingy. My little dude be extra clingy now, and that's okay. He needs some love. So anyways, if his snoring cuts in, I realized in my last episode, which I did with my mom, we did Ever After. If you haven't listened to that, check it out. I had so much fun having a co-host, which I do have a little bit of an announcement about, but I'll save that for the end of the show. I had so much fun recording with my ma for that. I love that movie. We had a blast. It was a good time. But Dobby's snoring, heavy breathing made an appearance a lot underneath the audio. And so I don't know if I'm the only one who can hear it. And it bothers me. So I feel the need to apologize for it. But anyways, Dobby disclaimer for this episode. Okay, let's bring it back to Twister. We are doing a disaster film. I had such a good time preparing for this episode. I don't know what it is about a disaster film that just really gets me excited, which probably sounds a little fucked up. And maybe that is a little fucked up, especially because, listen, I honestly couldn't tell you if the science and the amount of tornadoes that happen in this film are factual. I did try to figure it out, but it really wasn't where I wanted my focus to be for prior to the recap, so I kind of gave up. But we are going to learn just a few facts about the movie and then some tornado facts. Because, listen, I was like, I find these bitches fascinating. They're also terrifying. Horror story, just these, they just drop to the earth and rain their storm of tears. They spin about and do their tornado dance, and I think they're fucking terrifying. And I wanted to learn a little bit more about them, and then I got excited about it, so I was like, well, now I'm gonna tell everyone else who listens to this. Okay, so I don't have a ton of movie facts for you guys, but I have a little bit, and then we'll get to the movie. Fucking Twister. Here we go.
It's the wonder of nature, baby!
Came out in 1996. It was directed by Jan de Bont, the dude that directed Speed, which is on my list of movies to do. I actually thought that I would have done that one by now, because when I first started doing this, we're getting close to a year since I started the Millennial Rewatcher. That was one of the first ones I went and was like, I gotta get my own copy. Some of these movies I like to have my own copy of, or already had my own copy of, but that was one of them. Okay, then it was written by Michael Crichton and Anne Marie Martin. It was produced by Ian Bryce, Michael Crichton, and Kathleen Kennedy. Cinematography by Jack N. Green. It was edited by Michael Caine. Music by Mark Mancina. I meant to just say Mancina, and then I tripped over it. I tripped on you, Mark. Anyways, our cast. Helen Hunt. I kind of adore Helen Hunt. She plays Jo Harding. She is the leader of her storm chasing team. Bill Paxton plays Bill. There's something about when an actor's character's name is the same as their name that I don't know. It just gives me a giggle. I don't really have a reason. And I'm pretty sure I've also said that before in other episodes. But anyways, also, I should look this up. I was going to do it before I started and then I forgot because of course I did. La 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 la. I think that Bill Paxton passed away. Yeah, he died in 2017. Okay. Which I did not know, but when I was doing some of my research for this, I saw something and I was like, oh no, I didn't even know that Bill Paxton passed. So RIP, my dude. That's real fucking sad. But he plays Bill, who was kind of almost like a co-captain of their storm chasing team. But in the movie, we'll see, at least in the beginning, we'll see that there has been a severance of Bill from the team because him and Joe were married and, you know, shit went a little sour and then they split. Okay, Lois Smith plays Aunt Meg, who is Joe's aunt, but she's like a mother to everyone on their storm chasing team. Lois Smith, she is iconic within herself. To me, she's been in a lot of things, one of those being Fried Green Tomatoes, which is another movie that I would like to cover. I immediately recognized her from this. You're probably going to laugh at me. Maybe not. From True Blood, because she plays Sookie and Jason's grandma. And I am definitely a True Blood fan. It's a show that I like to go back to. Lois Smith is here. Jamie Gertz plays Melissa, Bill's girlfriend. We'll get more into that as we go into the recap. Alan Ruck, he plays a rabbit, and he is on Team Joe. He's the map guy. He navigates them. In today's day and age, he would have been replaced by GPS. But I appreciate Dude loves his maps, is what I'm trying to say. Sean Whalen plays Alan Sanders, again, on Team Joe. He is Rabbit's driver, and I'm sure he does other things, but I was trying to go through the cast list and mark exactly who is on Joe's storm chasing team and what their role is, because that isn't totally clear. I think I missed a couple people. There's a lot of people on Team Joe, but I did try to figure it out, so apologies if this is a little bit wrong. I did find a pretty good list on, it's like a wiki fandom or something. I don't actually know. I think it was my first time ever being on that site, but I was like, excellent. Whoever put this together, thank you. Also, their descriptions were a little funny at times, and I appreciated the humor. Anyway, so yes, Alan Sanders, he's Team Joe. He's Rabbit's driver. There's a lot of different vehicles when they go a storm chasing. Some of them are solo drivers. Some of them are two people. And I liked the description on the wiki fandom site for Rabbit. It said, usually chastised by Rabbit for folding instead of rolling the maps.
Roll the maps.
I do enjoy Alan Ruck, who plays Rabbit. He's an enjoyable actor. Anyways, Philip Seymour Hoffman is here as Dusty. Listen, he's Team Joe. I have actually no idea besides comedic relief and the guy who plays music at the end of their caravan of storm chasers, what he does scientifically. I don't know. I couldn't figure that part out, but I fucking love this character.
You slaughter your own cows, Meg. Nice. Potatoes?
Meg's gravy is famous. It's practically a food group.
Jeremy Davies plays Lawrence. He is Team Joe, and I described him as scared shitless most of the time. He's also in charge of photos and video. Poor guy, he's actually quite terrified a lot of the time. I like this actor too. I wanted to look up what else he's in. Listen, if I stop too much, it's hard for me to get my brain back on track, and I know there's probably going to be a few moments where I got to stop to pronounce check things here and there. So anyways, I recognized this guy though, and I was like, wait a minute, I know the voice. Todd Field, he plays Belzer, who is Team Joe. Wendell Josepher, what a name. She plays Haynes, who again is Team Joe. She is the youngest member of their team and the only other woman. She and Belzer, they ride together, and they actually do some scientific things, measuring of things. I don't know. Listen, I will admit I might have put in a minimal effort to understand all of these weather scientific storm chasing terms and things, but I would have had a hell of a time remembering them if I had made myself study. So here we are. Okay, Scott Thompson plays Jason Preacher Rowe. Preacher is his nickname. Again, he is Team Joe, and he is called Preacher because of the numerous religious references he gives. I don't hate this, though. Not a religious person. I can respect it as long as you respect people who are not of your religious group. So he is some comedic levity from time to time. Carrie Elwes plays Jonas. He's our head of the rival storm chaser team that we see a lot in the film. And he is the guy from The Princess Bride.
Oh! As you wish!
In this movie, he's the villain, and I don't hate it. I like seeing his face. Okay, Zach Grenier, sorry for pronunciation if I'm saying that wrong. He plays Eddie. And he is Jonas's assistant. So he's the guy you see driving Jonas around. So he's his driver. But yeah, I mean, he does more than that. But anyways, he's kind of like his driver. And then there were some other names on the cast list, specifically from Wikipedia, that I couldn't place. And I don't know exactly where they land, but I'm going to say them anyway. So those three names are Nicholas Sadler as Kubrick, Abraham Benrubi, what a name, love it, as Bubba, and Jake Busey as mobile lab technician. I'm not sure which team they land on, but I wanted to still include them, even though I couldn't place exactly who the fuck they are in the movie. Okay, let's get into some movie facts. Here we go. Woo-hoo! When filming for Twister, a large portion, what? Am I from the Midwest? No, apologies. A large portion of the cast actually went storm chasing with the National Severe Storms Laboratory. Laboratory! I love saying that word. It's one of my favorite words for no other reason besides I like to say laboratory. So yes, they went storm chasing with that thing I just said. Bill Paxton actually spent the majority of the time with them, but none of the cast saw any tornadoes the day they went out chasing. But they did. The point is, they spent time with them getting to know the feel of it, what they were actually doing. So the producers and writers of Twister, they consulted with real life scientists to make the script as accurate as it could possibly be. Dorothy, the machine that we meet, I guess, we see that we are introduced to, pretty early on in the movie, that Joe's team, and including Bill, even though he wasn't there for the making it part, but he was a big part of the conceptualization, the idea behind it. It's this contraption that they have devised full of sensors that's meant to be like sucked up into the cyclone, the funnel part of the tornado, and the sensors are meant to release and then record measurements within the funnel itself, which is something that had never been done. It would produce vital data to improve the warning time for tornadoes, which in the movie they state it's currently at 3 minutes. And there's more to it than that, but you know, we'll get there. So that is what Dorothy is. And it is based on a real machine called Toto. So Toto, not just from The Wizard of Oz, in this sense, it stands for Total Tornado Observatory. And it had the same barrel-like shape that we see of Dorothy in the movie. It literally looks like a barrel and it's just full of sensors. I'm sure there's more to it than that, but that's the best visual I can give you. And we do see the Wizard of Oz theme a little bit throughout the movie, which I do enjoy because, you know, if you're not familiar with the Wizard of Oz, like who the hell isn't? But if you happen to not be, which is also okay, you know, Dorothy's world gets upended by a fucking tornado and that's how she ends up in Oz. So, you know, off to see the fucking wizard. I liked that they kind of incorporated it. It's not too much, so it's not too cheesy, but it's there. The Wizard of Oz theme in the movie by naming the machine Dorothy. You see a little picture of, I think, at least Dorothy and Toto on the side of it. I can't quite remember if they're as other characters or not. There's also a scene in the movie where they're trying to like outrun the path of a tornado as they do their shit, and they end up driving through a house that's been picked up, but it's like kind of being rolled around by this fucking storm. It's very the beginning of Wizard of Oz. There's even a scene at some point where there is a, I think, an Aunt Meg's house, a Judy Garland movie playing, not the Wizard of Oz, but we see Judy, and I'm like, I love these little. Would that technically be an Easter egg? As if someone out there, I mean, I guess when you're listening, you could yes or no, but I won't know what you're saying. Anyways, during the 1970s and the 1980s, several groups from the National Severe Storms Laboratory, NSSL, and the University of Oklahoma tried to deploy Toto, but they were not successful. And then Toto ended up being retired in 1987. But not before it inspired the screenwriters for our here film Twister to develop a story around a similar device. NOAA's Harold Brooks, a research meteorologist with the National Severe Storms Laboratory in Oklahoma, where the film takes place, served as an advisor on Twister. He provided input to the script, he advised producers about severe weather safety, and he helped create believable backgrounds for some of the movie scenes. Listen, I can get down with a film that's not realistic, correct in whatever sense. I just like to be aware of it, and I think that's really important for everyone. I've talked about this in my early episodes, especially with Dante's Peak. Sometimes we don't have the I don't know. I was kind of calling it media literacy. And like, as the show has gone on, I'm like, I guess I'm not sure if this falls under media literacy, but I feel like it's maybe a subcategory of it, of, you know, having enough literacy to question what you're watching but still enjoy what you're watching. You know, I think it's totally okay to question it. It just sometimes things are ripped to pieces because it's not accurate. And I'm like, but this is a source of entertainment. So while I think there is some still responsibility that things bear in the entertainment world to misinformation, that's not the place where we're meant to go to be educated, not in all senses. So a film like this that is strictly for entertainment, if things aren't totally realistic, I think that's okay. Entertainment has the ability to educate, but having the literacy to know when to question something and just being cognizant of the fact that something might not be factual is important. And I didn't always have that, especially when I was younger, which, you know, as a kid, teenager, young adult, whatever, be that what it may, it's just something that I kind of get very passionate about. I don't know if any of that made sense, but here we are. Okay, today, tornado researchers have ground-based and aerial instruments that are smaller and easier to deploy in large numbers to sample, study tornadoes. The long-term goal of putting multiple instruments in the path of a tornado was met a few years ago in southeast Wyoming during the NOAA funded experiment known as Vortex 2. What a name. One more thing, and then we're gonna do some how the fuck does a tornado come to be a tornado. And then some more tornado facts. The difference between storm chasers and storm spotters. This interested me because I didn't know shit about shit when it comes to this. And it was important to the film in the way it was portrayed and could cause some misinformation. And like I was just talking about, it is important to be able to discern between what's factual, what's not, how things go. And so, you know, since I do film recaps, if I can help the public out, I'm going to do it. So here we go. Storm chasers are not primarily to provide reliable on-the-ground verification of severe storms. That is the job of storm spotters, such as members of this thing called Skywarn, many of whom are ham radio operators. And I didn't know what a ham radio operator was, so the definition I looked up, if this happens to be incorrect, please correct me, millenniarewatcher@gmailpod. Pretty sure I got that out right. We'll see. Anyways, the definition I found says that a ham radio operator is millions of amateur operators in all areas of the world communicating with each other directly or through ad hoc relay systems and amateur satellites. So they exchange messages by voice teleprinting. What is that word? Something I can't pronounce. And television. Sorry. Storm spotters are lay people trained to observe developing severe weather who are mobilized during certain conditions. They take up prearranged positions from which they monitor the skies. These are the people who are called to action when a tornado watch is issued and who, in quotes, witness and confirm what radar detects. Okay, so that is a storm spotter. Professional storm chasers are researchers who study tornadoes, gathering data such as wind speed and direction and correlating visual images to radar to evaluate the effectiveness of remote sensing of severe weather. The main characters in the film Twister, they're professional storm chasers, much like those who work at National Severe Storms Lab. The thing is, a lot of the publicity release around the film Twister, so it does correctly call the film's main character storm chasers, but then mistakenly describes activities that are really those of storm spotters. And that is why I wanted to talk about that real quick. Okay, tornado, or how I've written it in my notes, NATO facts. I don't know if that's annoying, but I like it. I promise I won't say NATO too much, but I like it. Also, I'm pretty sure that is an acronym for something else that I can't recall what. So anyways, here we are. Oh my God, okay, I'm so excited to talk about fucking this. I didn't know I could be so excited about fucking tornadoes and talking about them, but I guess I am. Tornadoes form when a thunderstorm has a particular combination of winds. Tornadoes are vertical funnels of rapidly spinning air. Their winds may top 250 miles an hour and can clear a pathway a mile wide and 50 miles long. Goddamn.
Fussy little fucker.
Air rising in a thunderstorm can begin to spin when it's affected by winds blowing it in different directions. It starts to rise and is pushed to the side by wind. It rises a bit more and is jostled again by wind moving in another direction. Winds moving in different speeds and directions at different altitudes cause the rising air to start spinning.
Bitch, we're building a tornado.
Air that spins as it rises is typical in a supercell, the strongest type of thunderstorm, as Tina Turner would say.
There'll be a storm one night, but you will find my place of hiding. Well, once the lights like children leave the fortress hand in hand, I'll be thunder, you'll be lightning.
But not all spinning air creates a tornado. Why can't I say this right? For a tornado to form. Also, I love Southern accents, so I think I've said this before, but when you hear me do a Southern accent, I default to it because I like it and I think it's fun to talk like that, but it's not me making fun of Southern accents. It's because I like them. That's why I do it. Anyways, for a tornado to form, there also needs to be spinning air near the ground. This happens when air in the storm sinks to the ground and spreads out across it in gusts. Gusts of warmer air rise and gusts of cooler air sink as they blow across the land. If there is enough rising air and sinking gusts, the air near the ground starts spinning. You know why I think I enjoy this right now? I feel like fucking Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Bill.
Yes, I'm a 90s kid. Anyways, the spinning air near the ground speeds up as it is drawn inward toward its axis of rotation. This happens in the same way that figure skaters spin when their arms are drawn in rather than when their arms are outstretched. This is called conservation of angular momentum. I don't know why I feel so cool saying that. I love figure skating. Terrified of actually getting on the ice. I do have a friend who, she doesn't skate anymore, but she did when she was younger, and I want to see her skate so bad. I think it's one of the most beautiful things, and anyone who is athletically inclined as a figure skater, props to you, y'all, because, dear God, I could never. Anyways, back to the tornadoes. The rotating air moves horizontally across the ground and can be tilted vertically by the force of the rising rotating air. This allows allows a tornado to form. Okay, so most tornadoes form during supercell thunderstorms, but not all supercell thunderstorms produce tornadoes. Usually, the rotating air near the ground doesn't rotate fast enough for a tornado to form. If the rotating air near the ground is very cold, it will spread away from the storm along the ground and slow down like a figure skater with extended arms, and a tornado will not form.
Science rules.
Okay, these violent storms occur around the world. I did not fucking know this. I really thought it was very location-based, but it's actually not. The United States happens to be a major hotspot with about 1,000 tornadoes every year. Y'all, the U.S., what even the fuck are we? There's so many things I could say to make it funny, but I shall move on. Okay, it gets me. Tornado Alley.
Fuck!
We have Jesus Christ. Much like the Ring of Fire, which is a ring of volcanoes, scares the shit out of me. Tornado Alley, terrifying. Weather is scary. Tornado Alley is a region that includes the area in the eastern state of South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain.
Which is where this movie is. Northern Texas and eastern Colorado. It is often home to the most powerful and destructive of these storms. Basically, don't live there. I'm saying that to myself. Many people do. And you're all probably like, this little bitch on this podcast could never. And you're right. I could never. Y'all are wild. wild tornado people. Anyways, U.S. tornadoes cause 80 deaths and more than 1,500 injuries per year. Every U.S. state has experienced twisters. Again, mind-blowing to me. But Texas, and this blew my mind too, I don't know why, I had no idea that Texas was the holder of the NATO record, but Texas holds the record of the most tornadoes, an annual average of 120. Texas. What are we doing? Which I could say that again to so many fucking things that's not even just weather related. I guess everything really is bigger in Texas. Tornadoes have been reported in Great Britain, Indiana, Argentina, and other countries, but they are most often seen in the United States. Okay, side note. Do y'all remember last summer when there were reports of a fucking, I think it was a tornado off the coast of, or along the coast, or I don't know, Southern California. And I was like, we're fucked. We're all fucked. It happens. It happens. It's not as wild a thing to occur as I thought when I first heard that. Okay. Is it terrifying? Yes. Are they all prepared for it? I don't know if they're prepared for anything in Southern California. I love y'all, but I don't know. Also, I say that from up here in Washington State, where we're real fucked if a lot of things go down. Again, reference Dante's Peak and Mount Rainier. If that shit blows, bye. I love you all. Goodbye. This is out in the airwaves for my final goodbye if that ever happens, because I will not be sitting here anymore. Also, we're real close to Russia. Not as close as Alaska, but like we're close, and that's a thing. Okay. Oklahoma and Texas have the most tornadoes per year per 10,000 square miles. This is real interesting. So the location with the highest number of thunderstorms does not match the location with the highest number of tornadoes. Oklahoma and Texas experience very unstable atmospheric conditions that can lead to the development of supercell thunderstorms. Tornadoes can occur at any time of the year, but they are more common during a distinct season that begins in early spring for the states along the Gulf of Mexico. The season follows the jet stream as it swings farther north, so does tornado activity. The month of May generally has more tornadoes than any other month. Y'all, we just landed in April. May's a-coming. I'm just, you know, just reminding us all, shit, it's about to be tornado season. But April's twisters are sometimes more violent. Oh.
Oh my God.
Listen. I put my own notes together. I know what I write in here, but apparently I don't, because I'm sorry, the time is upon us for violent tornadoes in places where they're more common. Farther north, tornadoes tend to be more common later in summer. Although they can occur at any time of the day or night, most tornadoes form in the late afternoon. So she be a happy hour, bitch. By this time, the sun has heated the ground and the atmosphere enough to produce thunderstorms. Once a tornado hits the ground, it may live for as little as a few seconds or as long as 3 hours. So she got drunk at happy hour on occasion. That's all right. It means you're going to bed early. And maybe that's for the best. The average twister is about 660 feet wide and moves about 30 miles an hour. Most don't travel more than 6 miles before dying out. So she was doing shots at happy hour in that case. And then she passed out on the floor. Okay. Massive tornadoes, however, the ones capable of widespread destruction and many deaths, can roar along as fast as 300 miles an hour. She said, fuck happy hour, I'm out for blood. These measurements are scientists' best estimations. Yeah, and I looked up how to say this, and now I'm not sure. Anemometers, which measure wind speed, cannot withstand the enormous force of tornadoes to record them. Tornadoes are terrifying. Okay, so in the movie, there is a part that references the Fujita scale. I had no fucking idea what that was. And they did a fairly good job of, you know, describing it in the movie context, but I just wanted to mention it here. All right, so using units 50 to 5F, the Fujita scale measures a tornado's intensity by analyzing the damage the twister has done and then matching that to wind speeds estimated to produce comparable damage. The Fujita scale is a scale that uses damage caused by a tornado and relates the damage to the fastest 1/4 mile wind at the height of a damaged structure. Fujita's scale was designed to connect smoothly to the Beaufort scale with the speed of sound atmospheric scale, or Mach speed. Fujita explains explicitly that F-scale winds are estimated from structural and or tree damage. The estimated wind speed applies to the height of the apparent damage above the ground. So that specific system. It had a lot of flaws. I have a link in the show notes that will go into that a bit more if you'd like to read more on that. I could sit here and probably talk about that longer than we really need to. So I figured just let you know if you want to read more of the specifics on that. There is a link available for you. So the United States now uses the EF, the Enhanced Fujita Scale, which takes more variables into account when assigning wind speeds to a tornado. So if you want to check out more info on that, again, just hop over to the show notes. It'll be there for you. We're almost to the movie, I swear. But we persist with the movie tornado facts. Anyways, meteorologists at the U.S. National Weather Service use Doppler radar, satellites, weather balloons, and computer modeling to watch the skies for severe storms and tornadic activity. What a term. Doppler radars record wind speeds and identify areas of rotation within thunderstorms. Since Doppler radar has been in use, the warning time for tornadoes has grown from fewer than 5 minutes in the 1980s to an average of 13 minutes by the late 2000s. That is a significant amount of time in a disaster like that. Good on you, science guys. Boo, 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 boo. Bill didn't do that, but it felt right. Okay, last thing, and this doesn't have to do with tornadoes. It just has to do with the remake. I know I've said it in a couple episodes now, here and there. I'm not too thrilled about the remake, and I wasn't sure if it was a sequel, remake, you know, what exactly was happening. So I looked it up just a little bit so I could tell you guys and also educate myself on that. So is the movie Twisters 2, it's titled Twisters with an S, a sequel or a remake? Twisters is not a remake or a reboot of the original Twister, but a standalone sequel. The film features a new generation of storm chasers and an impressive supporting cast. This is according to the definition I found. Did I look up who's in the cast? Admittedly, no, I did not. While it can be enjoyed without seeing the original, Twisters will have callbacks to the 90s classic that fans will appreciate. So, I don't know. I can't say whether or not whether I will end up watching this, the Twisters. I don't know. Maybe I'm being a bit stubborn in that. Maybe I'm being a bit of an ass. But after watching this movie, I kind of forgot how much I do fucking love it. Now that I understand what's going on a little bit more, because we're about to get to the movie recap, so I guess I could wait, but here we are. I watched this last summer for the first time in a long fucking time because I was gearing up to do it for this, and then, you know, I wasn't sure where it was going to land. But I remember that at that watch last summer, I was like, Jesus Christ, how is it possible that there's so many fucking tornadoes back to back? And honestly, I know I already said that wasn't really my main focus for what I wanted to talk about in, you know, prior to the recap. I really am not even sure, and I would just rather admit it, if that many storms, tornadoes back to back, like they experience in the movie in such a short amount of time, is that possible? I am not sure. I do not know. But knowing what we know now about tornadoes, storm chasers, they're in Oklahoma, they're in Tornado Alley, it seems more possible. And just knowing that helped me enjoy the movie a lot more. I guess that's all I wanted to say about that. I feel like there was more, but now I don't remember. So let's jump into the movie recap. All right. I love how this film opens because there's a stormy sky. There's a storm a-brewing. It feels very ominous. We see that we're in June of 1969. There's various shots of different scenery as the sky gets real angry and this storm is building. We're in Oklahoma. We cut to a house. We learn it is Joe's childhood home. She lives there with her mom and her dad. It's a little bit later in the day. She's already in bed. And we see a weather report playing on the TV. A man, her dad, he's sipping coffee as the storm takes over. And he's watching the news. He says something about like it being a possible F5, which is like the worst of the worst of NATOs, okay? Joe's mom is getting Joe out of bed. She's just a little girl. She's so tiny. And the three of them, Ma, Pa, and Joe, head to the storm cellar because the NATO be coming. Also, tell me why they left the fucking dog. This has to be another reference to The Wizard of Oz, because this dog looks like Toto. It is small and fluffy like Toto. It be a Toto dog.
Toto? I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
But for real, I got so incensed when I was like, wait a minute, why the fuck is the dog still on the bed? That is your family member. That dog is handheld size. Pick it up. Joe is screaming for Toby. That's the dog's name. Toby. Toby starts running after them. He's like, bitch, don't leave me behind. Y'all are rude as shit. I know they're in a panic and it's 3 minutes. They've gotten the warning that a tornado is coming for them. They got 3 minutes, right? But still, that dog was on that child's bed. Scoop it up. Scoop it up. Okay. They get to their storm cellar, which is outside. They got to run out their house and get to this thing. It's in the ground, right? They get to the cellar without Toby for a moment, and I'm incensed. But Toby makes it in. They shut the door, and Joe's like, Toby! And Toby's barking outside, but you can't hear it because the wind is so fucking loud. But anyways, Toby gets inside. Toby makes it, right? My anger was short-lived. The storm is a doozy. This storm is a fucking doozy. Again, F5, worst of the worst tornadoes. Okay, so they're in their storm cellar, and this cellar door is... Why? Because it's feels like it was already hanging on for dear fucking life when they got in there. It's not securely latched. And yes, this is a big ass bitch of a storm, but it just bothers me. And I know I should let that go for the sake of the movie, but here we are, me complaining about it. It doesn't seem like it's gonna hold. Joe and her mom tuck themselves into a far corner, and her dad attempts to hold the door shut. There's this little window built into the ceiling of this thing. Of this cellar, and you can see the storm passing by. It looks like one of those small square windows you see on the top of RVs, for example, you know, like a little skylight. And Joe looks entranced by the debris and the storm barreling overhead. The door is slowly coming off the hinges, and then it does. When it's ripped off, her dad goes with it. There's no time to let go. He was clinging to this thing, trying to pull it down with all of his might. The thing is, this, I know I should let it go. It's just that when you see him hanging onto this fucking door, and then Joe and her mom and Toto, actually Toby, but Toto looking dog, they're in this far corner. I have a hard time not understanding why he didn't also just tuck himself into this corner. And if the door was going to go flying off, I don't know, like hope for the fucking best. Because if this door was going to go flying off, which, listen, that little bitch was rattling the second they got in there. Screws are coming out. It was gonna come off. I just feel like, why not get as far away from it as you could have? But it's a movie, and the plot would be ruined if this didn't happen. So I'll shut up now. Joe is desperately screaming for her dad. It's horribly sad, very tragic, as her mom holds her back from running after him. That's her first instinct. I mean, she's a little kid. She's like, excuse you, tornado, give me back my dad. When they finally leave the storm cellar, everything that had been on their land is gone. We flash to present day. I believe Joe is supposed to be like 27 years old now. They all look like they're in their 30s. It doesn't matter. We're still in Oklahoma, and we're at the National Severe Storm Laboratory, which honestly I kind of thought was made up till I started looking at facts, and I was like, oh no, that's legit what it's called. I don't know why it sounded fake to me. I'm here for it. And it seems a tornado, or a lot of tornadoes, is a brewing. Not just one, but a record outbreak of NATOs. Then we cut to Bill and Melissa, his current girlfriend. Him and Joe, they used to date. They were married. And then they split for like a lot of different reasons. We don't have even a therapy session amount of time for. So he is on his way to kind of confront Joe for their divorce papers, which he sent to her. He's not even sure if she signed, and he needs them so him and Melissa can get on with their life. They're engaged. They're going to be wed. He has separated from the storm chasing team. He's taken a job as a weatherman. He has this big brand new truck, and he's got a new fiance. So they're driving down an Oklahoma road headed towards Joe and her team. Joe and the team are working on getting this satellite storm tracking thing set up. They're just, when we land on where they're at, they're just doing all of their storm chasing things that I really don't have the fucking words for. So anyways, they're doing scientific NATO chasing things. We get flashes of some of the team. There's Dusty. There's Alan. There's Rabbit being super serious about his maps.
All I'm saying is don't fold the maps.
I didn't fold the map.
Yeah, well, Kansas is a mess. There's a big crease right through Wichita. Roll the maps.
Don't fold the maps. Roll the maps. I love how he says that. Roll the maps. Then Bill pulls up with Melissa. Big old red truck. His big old red truck reminds me of the ruby red slippers in The Wizard of Oz. Okay, I love their little dude union. Everyone's all like, Bill, you're back. And he keeps saying, I'm not back, in that Bill Paxton way.
Man, Joe's gonna wig when she sees he's back.
I'm not back.
The prodigal son returns.
Hey, welcome back, Bill.
I'm not back.
Bill ends up leaving Melissa with Dusty. Fuck. Dusty, again, played by Philip Seymour Hoffman. This character, I'm just going to have to insert various clips because I don't even know how to describe him correctly, but I would definitely want to hang out with him. I'm pretty sure I would get real annoyed by some of his weird sexist jokes, but I would just tell him what's up and I feel like he would be receptive to it.
Honey, why don't you hang out here for a little while and I'll be right back.
Okay.
Dusty, why don't you explain to Melissa why you are the way you are?
Bill heads to talk to Joe. We aren't sure how Joe is going to react to seeing him. Everyone's a little like, oh shit. So we don't know how to handle this, and let's just see how this plays out. When Joe does see him, she doesn't let much emotion get past her expression, and she sticks to talking about these big series of tornadoes that are about to hit back to back. He's trying to talk to her about the divorce papers as she continues fixing and setting up equipment. He wants the papers right then. She says, do you really need them right now? And I know this is, she's stalling, she's deflecting, she was not prepared for this. You can tell that's what's going on. And he says, well, yeah. Then she says, what's the urgency? You getting married? Being kind of flippant, because she doesn't know that he is engaged. And he goes, well, yeah, yep, I am. She is still as stone, though, and she does end up getting him the papers. He's looking through them to make sure they're all signed and notice that she missed some pages. Then she's all like, oh, where did these come from? And then proceeds to start reading them, which he doesn't like. And I'm like, okay, she's still stalling. Perhaps she even missed signing these pages on purpose, but there was quite a few pages. This is 100% something I would do, accidentally miss shit. But her all of a sudden stopping to read them thoroughly, I'm like, she should be doing that because these are divorce papers. But at the same time, all of a sudden she has all the time in the world, you know? Then she learns that Melissa is with him, and Bill left her with Dusty.
It's the same as it was in December.
I didn't read it in December.
Christ, would you just sign it so we can get out of here? Please?
She's here?
Yes, she's here. She's over with Dusty. Now, would you please sign the document?
You left her with Dusty? What's the matter with you?
What are you doing?
I want to meet her.
No, you don't.
And she promptly forgets about citing these papers and reading them. She wants to go meet Melissa. She introduces herself. Melissa is so nervous. I like Melissa's character, though. I really do. I don't know if she's someone I would be friends with in real life. She doesn't fit in with this world. I think that's really what I'm picking up on here. Melissa's all right. Okay, we don't hate her. Joe makes a crack about Bill's new job as a weatherman. And it's becoming clear that maybe Joe is like perhaps a little bitter or just still grieving, maybe both. I don't know. And that's perfectly fine. I don't fault her for this. Okay. Then she says that Dorothy is here. And Bill goes all big-eyed with infatuation and says, show me. And at first you're like, what the fuck? Who the fuck is Dorothy? What are we talking about? Because it's a little weird. And Melissa's like, what the fuck? Anyways, so she does. She shows him Dorothy. Dude be in awe. And again, I know where you talked about it, but Dorothy is this contraption that releases a bunch of, I wrote small balls because at the time I didn't know that they were sensors. Ideally, they're meant to enter the funnel of a tornado that will record measurements of the cyclone never recorded before. We also learn that a large part of the science behind Dorothy is Bill's idea. Melissa is asking what would the benefit of this thing be, and I'm like, girl, can you not see the big picture? But she's just asking questions and I'm just being an asshole. Joe says this kind of study of a tornado would increase the tornado warning, which currently sits at 3-minute warnings, and it would increase it to 15-minute warnings. We kind of see Joe get agitated with Melissa, who seems to think the current system is good enough, but I think she just thinks that because she doesn't know what she's talking about. So she's kind of spouting off, this is 100% something I might do. I do try not to, but sometimes my words run away from me and then I'm like, I sounded so stupid. I don't know what I'm talking about. Melissa also doesn't know about Joe's dad and that whole thing. Then we learn a tornado is about to hit. So they all assemble to make chase. I love this part where they pack up and they're like, let's go a storm tracing.
Joe, we got major action. The NSSL says the cap is breaking. Tower's going up 30 miles off the dry line.
All right, let's go.
All right, we're moving.
It's daddy time.
Joey, last one.
Hannah, you're up. Come on, let's go our way. Let's go.
And they take Dorothy with them. They have built 4 of these Dorothy things. So they have 4 of them to make 4 different attempts, which is important to remember. They've got to get Dorothy into the damage path and then get out in time for this to be a success. Because they, like, also don't want to die, you know? Like, they also don't want to die doing this, ideally. At first, Bill isn't going to go with them. But Melissa asks him if Joe signed the papers. And he remembers, as everyone's already loaded into their cars and various vehicles and they're driving away. He's like, shit, she didn't. So he ends up driving after everyone, thinking they still have time to get her to sign them. And I'm like, okay, I mean, maybe just wait there for them to come back. I don't even know if they come back to their original location, so that wouldn't have worked anyway. So yeah, Bill decides to chase after them because Joe is already mobile in her big yellow Jeep. And it's like this big monster of a thing. I don't know what I'm talking about, but it's very like tactile. I don't know how to describe it. It's just very, it's heavy duty. Big old yellow Jeep, and I do enjoy that. Reminds me of the yellow brick road. Sturdy, but you never know when you might find it or not. Okay, that's when their rival storm chasers come along. Jonas Miller.
As you wish.
With pride. What can I do for you?
Anyways, back to Twister again. They all have these sleek black vehicles as well as some black minivans, and I don't know what it is about that cracks me. They're useful. Like, I get why they're using minivans, but some of them are minivans and it just kind of, I don't know, it throws me and gives me a giggle. They all have slick villain smiles. Joe, Bill, and team hate them. He's explaining who Jonas is to Melissa. He's explaining that Jonas is in it for the money, not the science. One of Jonas's team runs Bill off the road. He's being a real asshole. And they have to stop to get a tire fixed. Everyone seems to make a pit stop, including all of Joe's team and then the rival team. I hope I'm making sense. And as Bill is getting this, you know, tire fixed across the road, Jonas and his team, I wrote team barf, they're giving some sort of interview about Dot 3, which is a ripoff of Dorothy. Bill overhears this, and it turns out Joe already knew. So while she doesn't fucking like it, she's not losing her shit like Bill does. Bill goes in for the kill, big fucking mad at Jonas, who is very punchable, by the way, so I don't blame him. Jonas has corporate money backing him. And honestly, this corporate money seems to be the only thing getting his dick hard at night. Bill is super angry and he decides to stay for the day. He's like, you know what? I'm actually going to help them out. And Melissa's like, well, I guess we're helping them out. She's just there. There's really no other option at this point. And she does want to stay with them. So they're along for the ride now. Bill starts doing this like dirt touching, air sniffing thing while inside a roadside diner. Joe's getting some coffee and Melissa goes in to grab a couple cold drinks as Bill instructed her to do. I don't know why. The way he says it, he's like, "Want to grab us a couple cold drinks?" And just the way he says it, I'm like, I would listen to him even if I didn't want to, if he said that to me like that.
Listen, I'm gonna hang out here and get some air. Why don't you go get us some cold drinks?
Okay, sweetheart.
Okay.
Melissa and Joe sort of chat inside while they wait for their order. Joe explains that Bill can basically tell what a storm is thinking, what direction it's going to twirl and kill. She says her Aunt Meg used to call him a human barometer. Then Melissa asks Joe if she's still in love with him. And I love how blunt she is with this. Also, Melissa is a therapist. And this is definitely helping everything about everything. Joe doesn't answer Melissa. Melissa kind of takes that as a yes. And it is a yes. She is still in love. She's just not admitting it to herself. And also, this is an awkward fucking situation. I don't know how I'd react. I mean, who can say? You know, it's fucking awkward all around. Bill makes a choice on which direction they're going. And Jonas was kind of waiting for this to happen. He had also run into Joe in the diner. He was being slimy, trying to pretend like he's their friend. But he was kind of fishing for information. He was definitely waiting to see what way Bill was going to go. We're going to see this a lot, where Jonas pops up with his team of villains to intercept and steal the show, basically. Bill makes a choice on which direction they're going.
Going green. Greenage. Saddle up.
You got it, boss.
He tells Melissa to drive their truck and follow, and he hops in to Joe's truck with her, grabbing the keys. He's like, "I'll drive," and Joe's like, "I guess you're driving," and Melissa's like, "I guess I'm following." Jonas and his team of twerps head out to follow them, and then Dusty turns a fucking TV on in the back of his van, playing music videos as he trails at the end of Joe's team, Melissa behind him. I love this.
It's the wonder of nature, baby!
Dusty is a fucking character. He's rigged up a beverage system in his van, so there's a straw positioned beside his face he can just easily drink out of instead of having to pick up a cup. And listen, they end up driving and caravanning through a lot of off-roading situations where you need two hands on the wheel, so I get it. But I also think it's hilarious. There are speakers on top of the van, so he's blaring his music for everyone. The words "barn burner" are printed above the cab's window. I don't get it, but I like it.
Woo-hoo! Hey, you guys! Woo-hoo!
All right, one of the dudes, I think it's the preacher guy, he prefers this fucking part. He prefers classical music. So he's got that turned up. We see him crank it up on his stereo. He's cackling. He's cackling like he's literally actually in a room at an institution for the insane, straight out of the early 1900s. Excuse me. I am obsessed with this little part. Dude is on a wild high. That can only be the tornado chase. Melissa is fucking terrified, but she is trying to keep up. And she keeps getting phone calls. We see this happen throughout the movie. She keeps getting phone calls from what I'm assuming are her patients. So she's trying to therapize people while she's driving this fucking big ass truck and following these guys. And again, they're not staying on main roads. Sometimes they're on a main road. Sometimes they're driving through a fucking field and it'd be real bumpy. They be off-roading. And Melissa's like, "How can I help you?" on her flip phone with an antenna to her clients.
Dr. Melissa Reeves here. Oh, hello, Donald. Yes, no, you got me in my car.
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain and the weather.
Meanwhile, at the head of the caravan, Bill and Joe get to talking. Joe asks him some questions about Melissa, how they met. Bill gets very defensive, but Joe says she's not trying to start anything. So then he tells her Melissa is a therapist, and that starts an argument about Bill needing therapy. He gets real mad, as if therapy is a bad thing. My guy, I know it's 1996, but therapy might be good for you, and we'll learn why in a little bit. Then it turns into an argument about commitment and who was the one more committed in their relationship. Bill nearly drives off the road. That starts a whole new argument. Everyone can tell that they are fighting. Eventually, one of the team gets on their radio. They have a radio that's set up to talk to any people outside of their car. Like, we'll hear them radio over to Jonas's team from time to time, but it's how they all communicate with each other as well. So one of the team gets on the radio and...
You know what? As long as you're happy.
Thank you. I am happy. I'm a happy person. I'm happy with my life. I'm happy with the way things are going in my life. I'm happy with
Melissa?
I know her name. Yes, I'm happy with
you happy.
Melissa.
You look
I
happy.
Am.
Shit. Hey, are you guys gonna wrap this up pretty soon?
What?
Oh, nothing. I was just wondering if we're gonna chase this tornado or if you just wanna catch the next one.
Shit!
So, they are getting close to where they need to be. They can see the tornado, but they gotta get ahead of it, right? Which means they gotta cut across a field. But now they are too close! They're driving through this sort of ditch thing. It's farming land. It's Oklahoma. If you don't know what that looks like, give it a goog. And this, I guess, sort of ditch runs straight through the field. It looks like it fills with water when it rains, or maybe it's a dried up riverbed, but it doesn't look like a riverbed. So I also don't know what I'm talking about, but here we are. Anyways, there's this little bridge with a piece of farming equipment on it, and the big yellow Jeep they are driving, Joe's Jeep, isn't going to make it under it. So this bridge, it's pretty well installed. It is meant to hold as well as, you know, drive across like heavy farming equipment. And there is a piece of farming equipment sitting on top of it. So it's not flimsy at all. There isn't enough room for their Jeep to pass under this thing. They crash and get out of the cab and find cover because the tornado is on their ass. They're running from the tornado, which is just barreling down at them like, I'm taking chase. I'm a tornado. Joe wants to get Dorothy set up to release the sensors because it's going to cross right over them, this tornado. They do not have enough time. And Bill stops her from doing this. They get under this bridge. It's sort of a bulky thing. So it does seem to provide a possible decent place to hide from a tornado. Again, it passes right over them. I guess sort of through them. Joe gets all, I want to see it. Like she's mesmerized by this thing that's coming. And she fucking starts to crawl towards it for a moment. Bill pulls her back. The tornado passes, taking the Jeep with it and part of the bridge. But Bill and Joe are fine. Just as Joe says, where's my truck? It crash lands in front of Melissa, who loses her mind. Dusty seems to think this is hilarious because he sees this happen.
Are you okay? Did you just miss that truck? That's awesome! That's awesome!
Melissa! I'm okay!
Bill, you sure?
Bill, she just missed the truck.
God, what happened?
This is when Jonas passes by and Dusty has some words of affection for them.
Fashionably late. Give me a kiss, baby.
Get out of here.
Loser!
Why'd you go find your own twister, buddy?
Loser!
You guys have a nice day, too.
Move on!
Joe was real upset about her truck. I would be too. So she basically confiscates Bill's truck because she does need a vehicle now. And Melissa gets demoted to backseat driver because remember, there are a shit ton of storms coming through and that was just tornado one. They've reloaded Dorothy. Another tornado is coming. So they're all still chasing. And so is Jonas. As they're about to pass Jonas and his team, Bill notices that the tornado is going to shift. So they back it up and reverse, reverse, reverse.
Reverse. Reverse.
Jonas is big mad. Bill and Joe are on track to intercept. Oh, and this is where we learn that Melissa is a reproductive therapist. Okay, they are actively tracking this thing's weather patterns, its condition, all the things I don't know how to talk about properly. And the team is telling them the funnel isn't going to hang out long. Joe says they are in the core of it as they pass over a bridge. It's this bridge built on a mound of land with basins of water around it that look like they aren't always full of water. I don't know if I'm describing that very well, but I tried. But right now, they are full of water. And that's where the tornado is doing its tornado dance, doing the twist. And then it fucking multiplies like a gremlin fed after midnight.
Okay, we got sisters.
Oh my God. Yes? Julia, I can't talk to you right now.
Okay, this is also the cow port. Sorry, this is the cow part. I don't like it. No cows were harmed in the filming of this movie. But why is it always the cows? Because this happened in Lake Placid 2, which was a creature feature. But the cat... cows are basically big dogs. Leave them alone. Why they gotta be the bait?
Yeah, I know you're upset. You just gotta breathe. We both just gotta breathe. Cow. I gotta go, Julia. We got cows.
now?
Actually, I think that was the same one.
But we see a cow flying around. And I guess this particular bit was inspired by a real life, the cows going missing in tornadoes. So this cow has been sucked up into the whirlwind of this thing. Joe says this isn't good. Basically, this won't do. We gotta go. Just when they think they are NATO fuel, the tornadoes twist into one and then disappear. Melissa is losing her mind. She says, you know, when you used to tell me you used to chase tornadoes, she's saying this to Bill. Deep down, I always thought it was a metaphor. Girl, no. No, like he was literally chasing tornadoes. What else could that possibly be? Joe is invigorated. One of the team is like, so yeah, maybe we should, go. Maybe we should move it. It's the photographer video guy who's scared of everything. Love him, but he's terrified. And he's like, I think I've had enough. It's been a lot. Then they are like, you know, we be close to your aunt's house and we be hungry. So pit stop?
Some of us couldn't help but notice how close we are to Wakita.
No.
Yeah, and Aunt Meg wouldn't mind a pit stop, right?
No.
Red meat, we crave sustenance.
Guys, we are not invading my aunt.
Food.
And they do go. Joe's Aunt Meg is so cool. I love her house. The lawn is littered with these amazing wind chimes she makes. Everyone adores Aunt Meg. So at her house, they're all at the table. Some are taking turns taking showers. And they talk about the best place to be hit by lightning on your body.
In a severe lightning storm, you want to grab your ankles and stick your butt in the air.
He's right. If you're going to get hit, it's the safest orifice.
Yeah, I like getting hit by lightning once. You know, see what it's like.
Melissa is so out of place. She looks terrified as they load up her plate with steak and mashed potatoes. Dusty is like, wait till you try this gravy. It's practically its own food group. Talking about Aunt Meg's gravy recipe. I can't do it right, but I think their stop at Aunt Meg's house might be my favorite part. I have no desire to chase tornadoes, but this group of people, the way they know each other, the way they love each other, it makes you want to be a part of it. I mean, not Melissa, though. Melissa knows this isn't her world, even as she tries to understand it for Bill. I mean, she does make an effort. They talk about the level of tornadoes, the Fujita scale, F3s and F4s, basically how bad that type of tornado is, that level of tornado is, I guess. Melissa asks what an F5 would be like, and one of them says, the finger of God, and I don't like it. Ew. Like it's a giant finger and he's just fingering things. And then Melissa says, none of you have ever seen an F5. And Bill replies, just one of us. That being Joe, the one that ate her dad. Joe and Aunt Meg have a moment together. It kind of makes me want to cry. It's a very sentimental conversation that they have. They talk about Bill. Aunt Meg says Bill always went his own way, which was usually the way you were going. She's saying this to Joe. And then Joe says, that seems like such a long time ago. But Meg replies, not so long ago. Joe, he's here. And then the camera shifts to her wind chimes as the wind picks up and we learn another tornado is coming and they are off again. This time, Bill has Melissa ride with Dusty. Dusty, again, is usually at the very back. So she's the furthest away from the action by being with Dusty. Everyone gives Aunt Meg love and thanks and they rush off. I gotta say, I love watching along while they chase these fuckers. Even just watching it, you get a sense of the thrill, the chase, the terror in the chase, and then the bond between them all. Again, you want to be a part of it, even if only through the screen, because like I actually don't want to go chase storms, but I like being a part of it in this way. Okay, they're coming up on this thing again. Jonas isn't far behind, per usual. The tornado is supposed to be, per their calculations, touching down right on the route they are on, but they don't have a visual of it yet. Honestly, it sounds like this one is going to be a doozy. There is a hill coming up, and that's where they think it's going to show its ugly face at the top of this hill.
Maybe it stalled.
No, I think Rabbit's right. It's going to show its ugly face right over that hill. Joe, what do you think?
Are you going to go for it, Joe?
Joe?
Time for deployment, guys. Let's do it.
Oh, man. This is the fun part, sweetheart.
God, and then it starts hailing with big old fat golf balls of hail, baseballs of hail. It's real common with the tornadoes. They're friends, I guess.
Okay, we got hail.
Hail. We got hail.
They need to get Dorothy ready if this is going to work. So Bill climbs into the back to get it set to deploy. Now there is a shit ton of debris flying around. Tree limbs, fat ones, no biggie. The rest of the team is kind of stopped at the bottom of this incline to the top of the hill where the tornado is going to touch down. Our camera guy has a camera set up. Joe is mic'd up, so everything that they're saying is also being recorded and everyone can hear it at the bottom of this hill. They are racing up the hill towards this dark black mass of clouds, and then the tornado touches down. Meanwhile, Melissa is not having a good time and she yells,
"They're in the bear cage! Oh my God! Oh my God! Melissa, look at this! Take a peek!
No, I don't want to!
You can really feel it with a telephoto lens!
No!
Oh, come on, what's the matter? What's wrong?
You people are all crazy! You know that!
What?
Just so you set up, we're not leaving till we get there! She's the craziest one of them all!
Joe is still trying to get closer when a bike smashes into them. You know, it's flying through the air, smashes into the truck. And this is when she finally decides to stop. They're close enough. But they still need to get Dorothy out of the truck, which they are.
Dobby,
come on. All right, no. Go. Go. You cannot be under the table. Come on, up.
All right, get situated again, please. Wait, okay. You stay. Oh, you're
too. I love you so much.
But they still need to get Dorothy out of the truck, set up to go, which they are struggling to do. So as this thing, the storm, the NATO, it's taken down power lines and the lines are exploding.
Watch it!
They attempt to get Dorothy out of the truck. Something falls on the truck. I'm forgetting. It's not in my notes. I'm forgetting if it's a tree branch or whatever. But something falls on the truck and knocks Dorothy over. And then the funnel disappears. One of the guys calls it the cone of silence. Dear God, I don't know whether to laugh or be terrified. The sky starts growling. This black mass of clouds is still swirling. And this bitch's coming back. Joe tries to get the sensors gathered so they can set Dorothy up again. But they don't have time. Once again, they do not have time. This thing is going to drop right on them. Not near them, right on them. Joe is losing her mind, yelling it's not too late. She is dead set on getting the sensors up, and her and Bill, they kind of fight over this.
Listen to yourself, you're obsessed!
You've never seen what that thing can do, so don't talk to me about it! You've never seen it! You've never seen it miss this house, and miss that house, and come after you!
Christ, Joe, is that what you think it did?
Oh, no.
Jesus, Joe, why can't you just forget it?
You don't understand, okay? You'll never know.
Bill ends up saying, killing yourself won't bring back your dad. I don't know if this is tough love, him being a dick. I don't know if I'm taking it this the wrong way, but I don't love this. He tells her to move on, stop living in the past. God, you know, I hate when people say that and I want to go off about it, but I'm bringing myself back. And Melissa hears this whole thing because, again, Joe is mic'd up. Everything's being recorded. Everyone is overhearing this conversation at the top of the hill, even though they're at the bottom of the hill. Then Bill says, look at what you have right in front of you. And Joe says, what are you saying? And he replies,
me, Joe.
Melissa hears all of this. My heart hurts for everyone in this moment. Melissa didn't know what she was getting into with Bill, and it sounds like Bill hasn't been honest with himself about his feelings, and in turn, everyone gets hurt. And I'm not saying that in a way to accuse him of knowing that he wasn't being honest with himself. I don't think he was aware of that he wasn't being honest with himself. And this is why Bill, and Joe as well, also, they do need therapy, okay? Joe needs to go to therapy for that, everything that happened with her dad, and then probably Bill too. And then Bill needs to go to therapy because of all, like, everything that just was said. So, anyways, these storms seem to keep building with intensity as they go on. But life goes on as well in Oklahoma. And we see a bunch of people at a drive-in theater watching the fucking Shining of all movies. This was a brilliant choice to me. When we open at this scene, The Shining is at the part where the two twins pop up in the hallway and the kids on that big wheeler riding through the hallways. And you're like, well, fuck. This is terrifying. Melissa is taking it easy in a motel room, trying to decompress as the news is still playing. There's a news report playing on a TV set, reporting the status of these storms, right? Bill starts talking to Joe elsewhere. They're at this little like walk up. I don't know what to call it, but they have milkshakes and fries and coffee. So anyways, he is saying something about the sensors, you know, in Dorothy. He's wondering if they're going to work, if they're capable of being sucked up into the storm. Joe listens but doesn't say much. Then they notice that the news reports coming through have lost contact because there was also a TV set on in this little, it's not one of those ones that you can walk into. It's just like a window you walk up to and order food. But I guess for the drive-in, I don't fucking know. And I'm probably going off about this and sound stupid. A thunder and lightning storm starts up and the tornado is coming. All right. Dusty is yelling, it's coming right for us. And Bill says, it's already here, and yells for everyone to get underground. Listen, as this fucking tornado rips through the drive-in, the movie The Shining is at the scene where... Sorry, I'm laughing. Jack Nicholson is axing his way through that door. Here's Johnny.
Then I'll puff. And I'll puff. And I'll blow your house in. Here's Johnny.
The tornado was definitely playing off this movie because it's like, here's the tornado. Anyways, the tornado is Jack Nicholson, kind of. All right. The emergency sirens are going off. It's terrifying. Joe seems to be entranced by this thing for a moment. Common theme with her. I'm like, girl, your dad's not going to come out of the funnel, okay? Like, he's not still in there. I'm an asshole. Anyways, everyone runs to take cover anywhere they can. The team and a bunch of locals take refuge in this mechanic shop, which I was like, this feels like a bad idea because it's a mechanic shop. Tools, sharp things, metal. This is kind of lower section. It's not actually, I thought it was a storm cellar at first. It's not a storm cellar. It's like a pit where the mechanics can work under the car without having to raise the car up, if that makes sense. I'm assuming that's what it is. So that's where they take refuge. A car comes flying through the roof of this thing. One of the guys on the team gets sliced across the forehead with a hubcap. I hate it because I was like, oh my God, is he going to lose his scalp? He doesn't, but it still scares me. And Melissa has had enough. She's screaming her fucking head off, girl, same. Bill is trying to say, honey, it's gonna be okay. And I'm like, I don't think it's gonna be okay. I'm with Melissa. She has just been thrown into hell, the pits of Tornado Alley hell. And she was not prepared for this. I mean, how do you prepare for this? The team was knew what was coming, but like she thought she was going there so her fiance could get divorce papers signed. And all of a sudden they're chasing tornadoes and her life is on the line every few hours. We get a shot of Aunt Meg watching a Judy Garland movie. No, not that one.
Are you a good witch or a bad witch?
Her wind chimes pick up and move direction. Her adorable golden retriever starts to whine and I am fucking concerned. The wind chimes seem to beat like the heart of a storm. They are a warning sign. Back with the team, they take inventory of the damage as we hear news reports of the continued tornado activity. And then Dusty says it looks like it's going to hit Wakita head on. That's where Aunt Meg is. That's where they just were with her a little bit ago. And Joe's face clouds as Bill's brow furrows and they realize what that could mean. They all assemble to go really quickly. Everyone's like, fuck, we got to get to Aunt Meg. There's no questioning this. We got to go. Bill tells Melissa to stay at the motel, but she says she's leaving. She's like, I'm going. I'm out of here. I won't be here if you come back. And she's ending it with Bill. She's breaking up with him. They don't have too much time to talk about this, but they do part on a good note. And you know what? I don't hate this. I'm sad for both of them. But Melissa she sees what's happening between Bill and Joe. She sees it for what it is now. And she doesn't even blame him for it. And he does apologize because it's something that he didn't even realize until all of this went down. It's a pretty healthy breakup from my perspective, to be honest. Anyways, bye-bye, Melissa. I don't blame you for wanting to get the fuck out of there. An hour later, Wakita has already been hit. The town had no warning. And it is bleak. Joe's throttled into her memories as they see the destruction and, you know, slowly pick their way through town to get to Aunt Meg. And I say pick because there is shit fucking everywhere. People displaced, children crying. It's awful. It's also dark. It's just, again, very bleak. They get to Meg's house, or what was Meg's house? Joe and Bill climb into what is left of the structure. So basically the first floor, I guess, collapsed. And Aunt Meg was on the second floor. She didn't have time to make it downstairs, which in hindsight we see is now a good thing because the first floor fucking collapsed. This is very precarious and way dangerous. Climbing into the structure, anyone would tell you, don't fucking do that. Don't fucking do that because it could collapse around you. Just your weight shifting things going into it could fuck shit up. But they're not going to leave Meg in there, so I don't blame them for this. And the dog. Like, they gotta also get the dog, okay? We don't leave dogs behind. They can hear Meg's dog whining and then barking, dutifully marking where Meg is. The house is crumbling around them fast. Outside, the rest of the team moves to help them. You know, they call for an ambulance. They're mobilizing to help them however they can from the outside because more people in this structure is a no. Absolutely not, okay?
Meg! Meg, Bill! Someone take my one. Joe, here. Go, go, careful. Bill! Meg! Bill!
We're okay, we're coming.
Get an ambulance over here!
Come on!
Get an ambulance! Florence, now! Yeah, yeah. Go!
All right.
And Meg is rescued, okay? So she does make it out. She says, how nice you all came over. I fucking love her.
How nice you all came there over.
Bill gets the dog out as well. Meg is insisting she's fine. Like, she's kind of banged up, but she's not too badly banged up here, thankfully. She even is like, I can drive myself to the hospital. And then one of them says, I think Dusty, maybe not, but one of them says, honey,
your car's in a tree around the corner.
Oh. And Meg is just like, God damn it. This is some bullshit. I love her. Okay, the next weather report is scary. The tornado that hit Wakita was an F4. Real bad, but it's not the worst of the worst. And the next one to hit is going to be even worse. Joe is checking in with Meg in the ambulance before she's taken to the hospital. She's going to go with her to the hospital. She's super emotional, but then Dusty comes up and tells her it's happening, an F5. He's like, I don't even want to tell you this, but I have to. And Meg does encourage Joe to go because at first Joe was like, fuck, I can't leave you. Look what just happened. I almost lost you. Also, I want to note, it's not clear to me if Joe's mom is still around, if she passed away, where she's at, if she hasn't passed away. I don't know. But right now, it seems like Aunt Meg is perhaps one of her only family members, at least, that she's in contact with. I'm not sure. And she means the absolute world to her and all of the team. But, you know, that's actually Joe's family. So Meg is saying, I didn't have any time. No warning. I couldn't even get downstairs. Again, it's probably for the best, but she didn't know that at first. She was trying to get outside. And then she tells her to go. Somebody has to stop it. We love Meg. Meg is like, no. Go do your thing. We need the science. Before they take Chase again, Joe has a moment. She's staring hard at some of Meg's wind chimes that didn't get destroyed. And this sparks an idea. She says to Bill, I know how to make Dorothy fly. Bill sees what she is seeing and whatever idea is barreling through her brain space, he sees it too. So as they take Chase, they all get to work adjusting Dorothy and the sensors so they will fly. Okay, and remember, they had put together 4 of these Dorothy things. So even though they have failed attempts and they have lost a couple, I think they have 2 left at this point. So they've lost 2 of these Dorothy barrels. Bill and Joe set to launch one of the Dorothys. They get it in place and race to get out of there. Just as we think it's going to work, a fucking tree comes flying out of the funnel of the tornado and knocks Dorothy over. So these sensors are not going to get picked up. It's not in the path. It's not where it needs to be. Joe looks devastated, but then they have to get the fuck out because this fat tree trunk is coming for them, sliding on down the pavement. It barrels itself under the back of the truck and now they're stuck, okay? It's wedged itself under there. It's a huge fucking thing. My God. Y'all, this is not good. Then a fucking semi, yes, a semi truck comes flying out of the funnel next, and it's sliding towards them. Somehow they break free of this tree, and the semi gets picked up again and then crash lands in front of them, exploding. Of course, they make it out. They don't die. No one dies, by the way. Well, no one on Joe's team dies. Anyways, sorry. Okay, the tornado is still moving. The storm persists. And they have one more try. They have one more Dorothy, okay? Jonas is also still out here trying to do the same thing with his ripoff Dot 3. Bitch. With this last attempt to get Dorothy and her sensors into the funnel, they have learned some important info that will help be successful with this next try. And again, their last chance at this moment, at least, to try. Joe decides she's going to share this info with Jonas. For why? Because fuck him. I don't know, but she does. I think part of what she is doing is looking out for them because Bill can tell if the funnel twists its track, and it could, it's going to take out Jonas and his team, like kill him, like, you know, death. Bill is persistent because, again, they're talking over these radios so they can contact the other team. They're close enough to contact them, right? Bill is persistent, but Jonas is basically like, fuck you, and doesn't listen to his advice. His assistant guy who's driving is like, I think that we should listen, but Jonas is very hard-headed, little bitch, and doesn't. And Jonas should have listened because he and his guy driving the truck, they get fucking annihilated by the funnel and its debris. Okay, so RIP. Joe and Bill see this happen. It's horrible. And, you know, despite Jonas being an absolute prick, they did the right thing. They did try to warn him. They did try to save them. Debris is crashing down all around them. Avoiding it is a whole task in and of itself. And then a fucking house rolls into their path and there is no other way but through it. They need to get off this road, so they change routes and prepare to deploy Dorothy, their last Dorothy. They decide they're going to set the cruise control on the truck and make a jump for it, letting the truck roll right into the funnel with Dorothy ready to release. And it fucking works. Dorothy's sensors take liftoff. They start measuring the funnel's activity, and all the data is being recorded. The team is celebrating, going over data actively coming in, but then the tornado shifts and Bill and Joe need to get the fuck out. Now on foot, they're in this cornfield, so they find a barn. We get some shots of some horses that are just out in the field, and it kills me because I want them to be safe, and I'm like, no, not the horses. I love you. This thing is on their ass, that being the tornado. They make it to the barn, which feels like a death trap. Actually, it is a death trap because the amount of sharp farming tools for the tornado to blast at them is terrifying. So it's fuck the barn, we gotta go. And they run again just as the tornado takes out the barn. Somehow they make it to this shed. In this shed, there are some pipes Bill says he believes must be anchored in at least 30 feet. So they use some leather straps to tie themselves to this thing as the tornado rips away the small structure around them. Y'all, they are basically in the belly of this thing. It's a fucking moment. I don't even think I can describe. The funnel passes and bitch, they make it. They be alive. We see the family whose land they must be on coming out of their storm cellar. It's a father holding a small kid who looks a lot like little Joe, you know, when she was a kid. And then there's a mom and another kid that come out. But we also see that the horses are fine and I'm elated. Bill and Joe are good. We see the team coming up from the distance. Dusty's music is blaring their arrival. God, I love him.
We did it.
Yeah, we did. Dorothy really flew.
It was a good idea.
Yeah. Well,
I got so much to do.
Joe immediately starts talking next steps because, again, they've been successful. They were finally successful with their last chance, their last Dorothy. Bill seems all in. They almost kiss when the team rolls in and everyone's so elated and they're like, holy shit, you're fine. Oh my God, I can't believe we did this. But Joe goes in for a kiss anyway and bitch, it's a celebration.
We got it, guys. The sensors work. The computers went crazy. We got data coming out of our ears.
Dig it, Swift. Oh,
hey, Joe and Bill, check out that sky.
You know what? I think we've seen enough.
Huh? And that's the end. I love this movie. My dudes. Ah, we did a disaster film again. I don't love all disaster films, but ones like this, again, Dante's Peak, I guess they hold a special place in my heart. Revisiting this film was an absolute fucking treat. Learning about this film has endeared me to it even more. And I didn't do a full deep dive into, you know, how factual the movie is. And, you know, I didn't get too far into it. It was enough for me to be like, okay, now I get it more. I love it. For my next movie, I'm not gonna lie, I forgot to decide what I was gonna do before I recorded. So as I'm sitting here, I'm like, fuck, shit. I have my list of things that I want to do, but I hadn't fully landed on something. I might change my mind when you come back in a couple weeks for my next episode. It might be a different movie. We'll see. But I might be doing Tower of Terror. It's a Disney movie based off the ride, which isn't active anymore. But I love that movie, The Tower of Terror. It's got one of the guys, I forget the actor's name, but it's got one of the guys from Three Men and a Baby in it. And then Kristen Dunst, I believe that's the right one, is in it, which I had forgotten about. But I bought it recently because I feel like I might be wrong here. But it's not on Disney Plus, and it just popped into my head. And I was like, fuck, I really want to watch that movie. I remember loving it. So I bought it, watched it, and was like, okay, this movie is still really fucking good. It's still really good. It has to be a top five Disney original for me. So I think I might be doing that. Again, I might change my mind, but we'll see. However, in the near upcoming future, whatever, I said that weird, I am going to be making some changes to the Millennial Rewatchers. Getting a little bit of a rebrand. I'm changing the name, the concept. Slept. Jesus Christ. Dyslexia will still be here, but the concept is going to change a little bit. My new name, I will be calling it The Rewind, and I'm going to attempt to have a co-host for my episodes. It might not always work out. I'm just trying to plan for that now, so it might still just be me sometimes. But since I'm still going to continue doing every other week, I'm hoping it's a little easier to schedule friends and family who want to recap movies with me. So my mom will be back, my sister, my best friend, and hopefully some other friends as well. So that rebrand, I suppose, will be coming in July. I might take like a month off between starting Bubba's The Rewind. We'll see. I'm still going to be doing movie recaps. It's just sometimes I might be doing a movie that I haven't seen and my co-host has chosen. It's a movie that I want to revisit from my, you know, childhood again, something really beloved to me. It might be a movie that's so bad, but it's so bad it's good. Still film recaps, just a little bit different, and hopefully I will have a co-host for each episode. And the name change, The Rewind. So look for that. I will give more information as that change comes about. Hey all, cutting in to cut myself off here for a second to let you know that I decided to take my little break early from doing episodes. I realized that I've come to a point where my heart just isn't in it doing movie recaps. I'd rather focus my time on the rebrand and pushing forward with The Rewind, which will premiere July 5th. And I think a little break would be good for me. So from here on out, The Rewind will be done in seasons. The season might last for months at a time. Probably it'll be something where it goes for a long time, almost a year, like the Millennial Rewatcher did, and then I might take a month or two off, give myself a little reset, and my co-hosts. But The Rewind is coming. I will be back with movie recaps July 5th, so look out for that. Our first movie that we'll be doing is Heart and Souls. Look for some more information on that coming up. I'm really excited about the rebrand. I'm really excited about the new name. I love movies so much. I still love doing this. I need this change, and I decided this is just best for now. So sorry, there's no Tower of Terror episode coming soon. I actually had changed my mind and I was going to do the whole nine yards. I noted the whole thing and then I sat down to record and I was like, I just can't do this on my own anymore. Look for that July 5th. Until then, it's been amazing doing the Millennial Rewatcher. It's been good for my heart and my soul. And now I'm ready to move on. I did go ahead and change all of the names and such on social media, although I haven't popped over to TikTok to do that yet. I find that I hardly get on there, and it just is what it is. But the Instagram page is now Rewinding Podcast, because the rewind in any variation I could come up with, including with the word podcast in it, was taken. Even though when I did my research on other podcasts potentially named the Rewind, there was a few, not even a few, there was a couple, and I think one of them wasn't active anymore. Instagram is the Rewind, and the username is Rewinding Podcast. It's kind of growing on me though now, that new name, Rewinding Podcast. I don't know, I just kind of like it. And anyways, that's it. That's it for now. So until July 5th, happy viewing. Enjoy those movies. I don't have a tag. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Goodbye. Bye.
I gotta go. We got cows.
Roll the maps.
You wanna come on in here for a second? Are we rolling? We're on? Oh, yes. Just another day on the set of Twister. Everything's a little twisted here. My God, this is fun. Hang on. This is the first time I've been on this set. What goes up must come down. Oh God, I can't even sit here. Look at this. Spinning house, got to go round. Talk about your trouble, it's a crying shame.